Honestly, we should stop doing news. It's a pain in the ass. Hello and welcome to This Horror Life. My name is Rob Humphrey, joined as always by Ghost and Cat. Ladies,
Hello.
how we doing?
Hello.
Yeah, all right. A lot of enthusiasm
Sounds like
there.
It's been a long week for everyone.
It really has. It really has. But we're here to put on a show and entertain you like dancing monkeys. So that's what we're going to do.
Yep. Gotta put on my dancing pants.
Have you been busy? Cat, what have you watched this week?
I have watched, I've had a few rewatches and then like a bunch of just catching up on 2022 stuff. I think I'm going to start with Hellbender. I rewatched Hellbender.
So I keep hearing that's really good. Is that true?
It's really good.
Okay.
It's one of those things where I was not impressed with it the first time because it had been so hyped. So I took as much space from it as I possibly could, and I rewatched it for my top 20 article, and I'm glad I did, because I liked it a lot better knowing what I was getting into. It's one of the people just wanted to say it was like the scariest movie ever, and it's like something can be good without being scary, but like don't promise me scares if they're not there,
Yeah.
you know?
Is Hellbender on Shudder?
It is.
Okay.
And it's not super scary, but it's good and worth watching.
Is it so scary I won't be able to watch the whole thing?
It's so scary you'll have to turn it off.
Scariest movie since The Exorcist?
Since The Exorcist, hands down. I watched VHS 99, finally.
Okay.
That was another one I put off as long as I possibly could.
Yeah, I've put that off so long I haven't even watched it yet.
I will say, it's the best out of the VHS series by about a mile, but that's such a low bar that it's still just like a fine movie.
Really? I heard, wasn't VHS 94, right? Or am I making shit up? That was one that was hyped up a lot, right? Or am I making shit up?
No, you're not. People really, really got hyped up about 94, and I kind of bought into the hype because I liked the 90s. I was like,
same.
This is going to be great. And if people are saying it's better than VHS, I'm going to believe them. But like, there was one segment in it that, because there were anthology movies, there was one segment in it that was good. I'm not even going to say really good. It was fine. And everything else felt like a VHS movie, and I was pissed.
I wonder if we're talking about the same segment. Are you talking about Ratma?
Yeah, Ratma.
Yeah, that was the only good one, right?
It was good.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand this, but it's not worth hyping the whole movie for.
There was a bunch of hype around VHS originally, and then also VHS 2. And then VHS Viral came out, and I didn't even know it existed until like a year after it came out, because no one was talking about it. It's awful.
It's bad.
And then 94 came out, and everybody was so stoked about it that I was excited to watch it, and it was just like, okay, so it's just another one of these movies that I don't like.
It was
like.
More VHS.
VHS
99 though, there are, and I will say it goes through some of like the same stuff that the other ones do, where like there are really cool premises, the executions are all kind of shaky. It's an anthology, it doesn't tie together real well, it goes one segment too far. Like I have a lot of the same complaints, but I will say there was only one segment in this one that I actively disliked, which is like a nice subversion of, because usually there's one segment that I kind of like, so it was nice to, like, there was only one that I had a real problem with. Everything else was, you know, there were interesting ideas. They tried. This is the best one. It's okay if you miss it.
All right. Fair enough.
I rewatched Who Invited Them and The Watcher. And I think
Watcher
my only other...
or The Watcher?
Oh, I'm sorry. Watcher.
Okay.
I was going to say that was my only... I also rewatched Sadness. Was my other rewatch.
You watched The Sadness again?
I watched The Sadness again.
Oh, it makes me sad to watch that again.
I watched Allegoria finally. That was another one. It got really hyped up. It's better than the VHS movies, but I don't understand the hype.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I watched Slapface, which I kind of regret doing.
Sorry, what?
Slapface.
I thought you said flat face, and I was like, flat what?
Face. No, Slapface. Yeah, I forgot about that one. I actually meant to watch that a long time ago and forgot about it.
Yeah, it could have stayed forgotten. The concept was cool, but it was very boring. It didn't land. I watched Raven's Hollow, which is surprisingly highly rated.
Sounds really boring to me.
It is so boring, and like, it's pretty, I get it, but like, I don't want to watch it. I didn't want to watch it. I was right to have that instinct. The Twin I watched. It was fine. Bones and All, Rob and I don't agree on. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was. I think the scariest thing about Bones and All was the way that Timothy Chalamet kisses tongue first. I didn't want to see his tongue so much.
I haven't seen that
really
yet.
Uncomfortable, but it's a romance.
It is, but I think it has enough horror elements that it gets by. And it's a good. I thought it was good. I liked the movie.
I do think it was a good movie. I just don't think it was a horror movie. And I think it was too long also, but
all right.
The Innocents I watched.
Okay.
It might be for you, but it made me really sad, and not like, you know, oh, this is great storytelling that's trying to make me sad. Like, it just bummed me out. It was not for me.
Sounds like a film for me. I love being bummed out.
Then may I recommend The Innocents?
Listen, sometimes you just need to feel sad.
That's why I watch The Sadness.
Fair.
Men. I finally saw Men. I think I kind of liked it, but
no,
don't know is my first reaction was I hate this, and then it was like, maybe it's really good. And I will say, I've thought about the end of Men every day since I've watched it.
It's so dumb. Like, it has an interesting premise, and everything up until the last act is great. And then the last act just goes, what the fuck? I mean, it just goes completely off the rails.
It really does. But, you know, I think about it a lot. I saw Nanny.
With Fran Drescher?
No.
No.
The horror movie.
Okay.
Oh.
It came out this year. It's on Prime Video, and I really liked it. Okay. It was borderline not a horror movie, but like it was really weird because it had strong horror elements, but they got less screen time than like the drama elements. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like just unsettling to watch. Really good movie, good story, good characters. Not sure it's horror, but it's in that line. And then my most recent movie, and the one that I'm most excited to talk about, I saw The Apology. Have you guys watched it yet?
I've never even heard of it.
It's brand new. It came out this week to Shudder.
Okay.
It is a Christmas movie, and it is tense. I was not expecting a lot from it, and it was one of those things where it's like they make a little go a long way. Like, I can't imagine there was a big budget for this movie, but I was really impressed.
I feel like we're getting inundated with Christmas horror movies this year.
We have been.
I'm kind of done with them.
I think that's why I wasn't expecting a lot, because I saw Christmas Bloody Christmas, and I almost didn't watch it, because it's like, I feel like I've seen a lot this year, but it was such a fun time, and then Shudder was like, oh, we've got one more for you, and I was like, god damn it, okay. And I put it on, and it's like, I think what I liked about The Apology is that it was like more serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't like, hey, we're doing like a Christmas gimmick. It was like, here's a really dark, disturbing film that for some reason takes place at Christmas. And you're like, oh, yikes. Okay.
All right. That might be okay. But yeah, I'm kind of over this Christmas horror stuff. There's been a lot of it this year.
There has
just been a lot of horror this year, to be fair.
We didn't see this at like at Halloween though.
Yeah.
We saw like the one Halloween movie in the franchise, and then I feel like we didn't get a lot of like new.
Well, didn't we get Smile around Halloween?
I mean, we got it around Halloween, but I wouldn't call it a Halloween movie.
No. No, we didn't get a lot of Halloween movies this year. I don't know.
I guess Terrifier 2 is a Halloween movie.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It just come out around that time.
Yeah. And yeah, it's set at Halloween.
But.
All right.
That's my list.
Ghost, what's on your list?
My list is, other than what we're talking about today, one movie long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. It is not horror in the slightest.
Well, thanks for bringing it to the show.
Yeah, it's packed full of action. Can you guess what it is?
Is it Die Hard?
It is Die Hard.
Die Hard!
I rewatched Die Hard. Yes. I love that movie.
Die Hard's amazing.
I love so that good movie. And I had arguments with people over whether or not it was a Christmas movie. And they say it enough in the movie. It's around Christmas. They're at a holiday party. Like, it's Christmas enough for me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It also... It doesn't feel like Christmas until you've watched Die Hard.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was really good. I love that movie. I actually haven't seen it in well over a year. But we watched it. And I thought to myself while watching it, we need more movies where the protagonist just talks to himself while he's doing shit with his little one-liners. Because I swear to God, I am the exact way John McClane is when I'm doing things around my house. Where I have these witty little one-liners and I am saying shit while I'm doing it. And I'm like, damn, kind of wish people were around to hear that. Because that's funny. But I had a blast watching it. It is so good. There are so many iconic lines from that movie.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I think here's the thing that I think they missed the boat on with Die Hard and the whole Christmas movie thing is they set it in Los Angeles. Had they put it someplace where there was snow,
had they switched it, had he been LAPD and they were in New York, it would have been perfect. There would have been snow everywhere.
Yeah.
Although I will say because I agree, I think it would be easier to see it as a Christmas movie if it was on the East Coast, but I like the fact that it spawned so many debates about what is and is not a Christmas movie, because like my all-time favorite Christmas film, also not a horror movie, is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and it also takes place in Los Angeles, and I like that Die Hard opened the door to like unconventional Christmas movies.
Yeah. All right. Well, Die Hard. That's an awesome movie.
That's what I watched. I know I left you guys on your tippy toes waiting for that one.
Yeah.
it was worth it.
My list for this week has a lot of Christmas movies. Starting with The Nutcracker Massacre.
I heard it wasn't as good as the cover art.
It's not, unfortunately. It's not nearly. I mean, it's about a giant nutcracker that comes to life and murders people. And
that sounds great.
Yeah, it just doesn't quite work for some reason. I was pretty disappointed in it.
I still kind of want to see it, but it's like you said, like there have been enough. I might be done with Christmas horror this year.
Yeah, I've still got at least one more that I want to watch. The Killer Tree movie.
Yeah.
But it's becoming harder and harder to convince myself to push play on that just because I'm just so over it. And then there was a Joe Bob Christmas special over the weekend. I think it was called the Ghoul Tide Get Together. The first movie he showed was a Christmas slasher from 1984 called Don't Open Till Christmas. I'd never seen it. I'd never heard of it. It is from the producers of Pieces, though. So
I was just going to ask if it was that one. Had stuff to do. I turned on the second movie, but I missed like the first one entirely.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It sure is from the people who made Pieces. and that's not a bad thing. But it's that kind of movie. And Joe Bob telling stories about it was just, I mean, it sounds like it was a nightmare. They had like, I think, like four different directors on this movie or something.
Oh, God. That's a lot.
Um, And then the second movie that he showed was A Christmas Horror Story, which I hadn't seen in a while. And actually, I was kind of disappointed by it. I really enjoyed A Christmas Horror Story the first time I saw it. Rewatching it, though, it may have been because it was, you know, the second movie and it was late. It didn't, you know, it started at like midnight or 12:30 or something. And so it went until about 3 a.m. So that may have played a role in it. But I didn't enjoy it as much.
I've been thinking about rewatching it. I don't remember liking it, but I've seen a lot of love for A Christmas Horror Story moving around this year.
Like, yeah.
That's not the experience that I remember having, but
it's interesting in what they did with it, like how it's an anthology story or it's an anthology movie, but they don't tell the stories individually. They're all sort of told at the same time. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I didn't enjoy this watch as much as I did the first time. And then after that, I watched Bones and All. We already talked about that. And then after that, I watched a first time watch for me, the Christmas horror film starring WWE's Bill Goldberg, Santa's Sleigh.
Jesus.
I have said for years that my favorite Christmas horror movie was Black Christmas, but Santa's Sleigh is giving it a run for its money.
Oh, you stop that.
Santa's Sleigh is really special. That's a good one.
I know you're laughing, so I know you're kidding, and you're not actually serious.
No, well, I am serious, though, is the thing. It's so much fun. You've seen it, Kat. It's great.
It's fun.
Yeah,
but if it's fun does not equal like great.
I don't even need to rewatch it.
Really? Because yeah. I was thinking of, I was like, I could watch this Christmas tree killer movie or killer Christmas tree movie, or I could rewatch Santa's Sleigh, and I might rewatch Santa's Sleigh. and then after that, I watched Lake Alice.
Mm.
You also watched that, Kat.
I did, unfortunately.
Yeah, you can hear all about that.
I don't know what that is.
On Slasher Radio.
It's a really good movie on paper, is what it is. And a really terrible movie in practice.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. It's almost really good.
I remember.
Almost, what is it? What's the premise?
It's a slasher that's set. It's like a black. I don't want to put it in the same sentence as Black Christmas, but it's something that we haven't had since Black Christmas. That's just a slasher movie in an isolated lodge at Christmas, and that's all I want. Yeah. And then it was a be careful what you ask for situation.
The execution is just piss poor. It's no Santa Sleigh. I will tell you that.
It is no Santa Sleigh.
And then I watched the movie that we're going to be talking about tonight, which is the 1997 classic Jack Frost.
Yep.
Which, again, I don't know, is up there for holiday horror. Although it's not really holiday, I guess, right? It's just kind of winter, right?
It is. Yeah, I mean, I would call it a Christmas horror movie, I guess.
Okay.
There's like,
no. Go ahead, Kat. Sorry.
Oh, no, we'll get into it, but, like, I think there's enough Christmas imagery to kind of pull it into that genre.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
One
we'll
moment in particular, but yeah.
We'll get there. Ghost is getting really irritated at the moment.
I'm sorry.
We're skipping ahead.
No.
I don't.
Yeah.
She's the This Horror Life police all of a sudden.
Had a bad day, guys. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Don't make me cry.
No.
I'll do it. Don't tempt me. I'll ruin everybody's day.
Yeah. Well. Here's what I want you to do, Ghost. I just want you now. You have a year to prepare yourself to watch Santa's Sleigh next Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Fine. You know what? Fine. I don't care. We can do it next year.
It is so amazing.
I'm not
even
going to
argue.
I'm not
going
to argue.
All right. Let's jump into news. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. Speaking of Christmas movies, as a sort of a surprise, Violent Night is currently available for digital rental or purchase at home.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that is available as of right now to rent or buy if you want to do that.
It's probably a movie watch that, it next year when it's free.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to revisiting it because I think maybe I was a little too hard on it. Now that I've thought about it a little bit, and maybe it was a better movie than I thought it was, but I'm not going to pay to find out. Also, I know what I did want to mention about Violent Night that I actually wanted to mention last week.
Okay.
And it is time that we as a people, as a society, as a nation, as a world, come together and we recognize that John Leguizamo is one of the greatest actors we've ever had.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know John Leguizamo?
Not based off the name, no.
All right. Well, he never misses.
He never misses. Who
he's
is
always
he?
Great. And he's great in Violent Night. He was great in The Menu.
What the fuck is he in?
Okay. I knew the name.
Okay.
But yeah, it wasn't coming together for me, but The Menu helped.
Has this man been in every movie ever?
Yes. And he's great in all of them.
Yeah. No, I know who he is now. Speaking of Die Hard, he was in Die Hard too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great in all of them. He's amazing.
I could get on that bandwagon.
Yeah. He's tremendous. Yeah. And no one ever talks about him. And he just shows up and does his work, man. But anyway, yeah. That I meant to mention that last week when I brought up Violent Night and I kind of forgot about it. Which I guess is why maybe nobody's championing the cause. Everybody wants to, and we all forget.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like I remember him from a TV show, but I can't put my finger on it.
Maybe.
But it's fine. All right. We'll move on. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Up next, there is a RoboCop docuseries coming to Screambox in 2023. I don't know if it's actually called RoboDoc, but it better be.
missed opportunity if it's not.
Yeah. So
am I gonna have to get the Screambox?
Are you guys interested?
I did, dude. I got Screambox for a year. It was like $5.
Yeah, I did too.
The whole year.
I was like, for the whole year. Yeah, I'll buy it. Why not? But
well, I was going to do it, and then Rob told me that the movie that I had wanted to pick it up for sucked.
Oh, it's terrible.
I was like, I literally
bought it just for Terrifier 2.
Yeah, I all jacked up and full of worms is why I bought it, and it was terrible.
Well, yeah, that's why I was going to buy it, and then Rob told me that was terrible, and I've already seen Terrifier 2, so...
Yeah, but there are other movies on there, so, I mean, there might be some other good stuff. I don't know. I know that, you know, since Bloody Disgusting got involved with it, they're really pushing it, and there's a RoboCop docu-series coming, so...
See, there's stuff like a RoboDoc. I would watch that for sure if I had it, but, like, is it worth picking up Screambox? I don't know. I have a tough time keeping up with the stuff that's on Shudder, even.
Yeah, I know.
Like, to the point that it stresses me out sometimes.
It, like, whatever
I'm just
it was,
saying,
25?
For, like, it was pretty cheap. For an entire year, it's well worth it.
Yeah.
I said $5. I don't know what I actually paid for it, but
I think
it was
for the year. I think I paid like $25 or something.
That's not bad, I guess.
No, and there's other stuff. They've got some documentaries on there I actually want to watch. I just haven't gotten to. And the final thing that I have, the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, Matthew Lillard and Josh Hutcherson. I don't know, the guy from whatever movie has joined the cast.
I had plenty of time to look up and confirm if that was the movie he was in, and then I didn't.
That's fine. I don't even remember what movie you guessed he was in.
I think he's the guy from The Hunger Games.
Oh, that's right.
I get him confused with another actor.
All right. Hold on.
He's good, probably.
What is going on?
Ghost, do you know who Josh, I can't say that either, fuck. Do you know who Josh Hutcherson is?
Oh my God, I love him. Yes.
Okay. What was he in?
He was in Bridge of Terabithia.
Okay.
Okay, he was in
that
really weird Valentine's Day movie with Taylor Swift.
Okay.
He was in all of the Hunger Games movies.
Yep.
Yay, okay.
Yeah,
I was pretty sure that was him, and then... I knew
is
him
my
as the little kid.
The one being weird, or is it yours?
It's not mine. I haven't had any internet issues since I moved.
Oh, well, that's
I don't
good.
Know what is going on today?
Yeah, my internet has
internet
been
connection
solid.
Is unstable.
They do the internet right down here.
Apparently. I've never had issues with my internet until right fucking now. he was in RV. He was in Polar Express. He was in Zathura.
The only ones I've seen are those Hunger Games movies. I haven't seen any of the shit you're talking about.
He was in Easy A. I don't remember that.
I've seen Easy A.
Got casted in the new FNAF movie with Matthew Lillard, and I am so pumped.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I mean,
try to like steal that, but sorry.
Once again, I don't care because
that's why we were talking about him.
I've seen Willy's Wonderland, so I don't need a Five Nights at Freddy's movie anymore.
I'm sorry, my internet's being really stupid. I apologize, guys.
Oh, it's okay. You're fine.
I feel very behind and out of the loop in the conversation, so I apologize.
Oh, that is the Josh Hutcherson thing. That's why we were talking about him the FNAF news.
I was like, what is going on? Everyone sounded like robots, and they were going in and out, and then like it just cut out, and then I came back. And then all of a sudden, Kat was like, oh, she must know. Where do you know Josh Hutcherson is? Of course I know. I don't know what's going on anymore, guys. I'm just having a real rough day.
Oh, no. So. Well, yeah, I'm excited to see him in FNAF. Yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm with Rob. I'm a little bit more excited about the FNAF movie than you.
I'm so excited because about of the casting. Movie. You have no idea.
Mm. And because of the Jim Henderson puppets. I've been on started. Record. It's just Willy's Wonderland is the FNAF movie that I wanted, and I already have it. So I'm going to just try to put that in a bubble and appreciate whatever FNAF movie they actually give me. Like,
yeah. I mean, I would be really excited about Five Nights at Freddy's if they had announced Nicolas Cage had been cast in it.
No, no, no. Now you're just asking for a Willy's Wonderland. Part two.
I really kind of am. Listen, yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
Oh, guys, I'm so excited for Matthew Lillard. There's also rumors swirling around that Jack Black and Jamie Lee Curtis are going to sign on to that movie. And if that happens, I might combust.
Well, we'll see what happens with it, but I don't know. I just know nobody better fuck those puppets.
My other request is that Markiplier makes a cameo, at least bare minimum.
I had really hoped that they were just going to straight up cast Markiplier, to be honest.
Maybe they will, and they just are not going to tell anyone about it.
Are you guys talking about nerd shit again?
We're talking about Markiplier. Shut up.
Sounds like nerd shit. I don't know who the fuck that is.
I love
him. Fuck you, Mark.
I'm signed up to his OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tasteful nudes.
All right, I don't even know what to do with that anymore. Who else has got news? What the fuck is going on?
Rob, I think not going to like my news any better than Markiplier's OnlyFans. But
I mean, to be fair, I haven't checked out the man's OnlyFans. I might love it, but
you actually might. It's pretty funny. Charity. It's for charity, to be fair.
I'm a little bit behind on this one, but it's news to me. I'm excited. The Saska sisters are adapting American Mary into a TV series.
That's how you say their name?
That's how I say their name.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I'm correct.
Okay. Fair.
Didn't they get canceled?
What?
I thought they got canceled because they were like dickheads to everybody that worked for them or something.
This is news to me.
I don't know. That it's also news to me.
Really? Did I just make that? I mean, it seems like a weird...
They've always been really nice to me.
Seems like a really weird thing for me to make up, but it's possible.
You okay, Ghost?
Yeah, I'm fine. There's just a second drop.
Oh.
Drop number
Ghost
2 of 3.
Ghost is looking at porn!
Hardly!
I'm sorry, tasteful nudes.
Eludes, if you will.
Oh, wait, they were suspended from Twitter for something. Oh, for sharing. Never mind. They weren't canceled. Sorry.
It was for like graphic.
Yeah, they were apparently sharing stuff, images from their movies, and they were their account was canceled because of graphic images. So, yeah, never mind.
And I really like American Mary.
I think it
just like slid right under the radar. It was one of my favorite movies for a while. they did a great job with it. I'm a little bit confused because I read the article over on Horror Geek Life about the series adaptation, and they were like, they said that it would pick up where the film left off, and that they had wanted to expand the world and dig into her journey, and it just seems like not all of those things can be true at the same time. Based off of where the, it feels like there wasn't a lot of room to maneuver after where the movie left off, but I'm excited to be proven wrong.
Where's the series gonna be, do we know?
I don't think it is. Oh no, wait, hold on, never mind. I don't know where the series is going to be, but it does say at the end that if you missed American Mary, you can catch up on the original film because it is currently streaming free on Tubi.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see where it ends up because I can't imagine ABC is going to pick that up.
I can't imagine. My dream streaming service for this is HBO, but I know it's not going to happen. And also, it might not exist long if they picked it up at HBO.
Yeah. Who knows what's going on with that?
Yeah.
Amazon, maybe? I don't like a lot of the stuff that Amazon does, but I will say they get more graphic than...
Yeah. Well, maybe you take it to Shudder. Just take it to Shudder.
Yeah, Scream, if they take Scream it to Shudder, I'll be so happy.
Yeah. But they, you know, I mean, HBO, as long as they keep making new episodes of Succession, I'll be okay. and the Mighty Gemstones, or the whatever, Righteous Gemstones, whatever the fuck it's called. That show's fun.
As long as they keep Last Week Tonight, I'll be thrilled.
Mm. So we all have our wish list, HBO.
Yeah, HBO, get on this.
Yeah. Get all your old shit up. I used to love your old shows from like the 80s, like Dream On and shit. The fuck?
And cancel House of the Dragon.
Jesus.
Any more shirtless Matt Smith, I'm going to cry. Please.
Just let me and Kat run the damn thing. What are you doing? Yeah.
Like a good cry or a bad cry? I'm confused.
Bad cry.
Okay, fair.
I don't like seeing that much of him.
Okay, that's fair. I don't see him that much. So
the show really has fallen apart. Ever since Ghost brought up the porn guy, everything has gone straight to hell.
Not a porn guy. Please don't refer to him as that. It's not porn.
Tasteful nudes guy.
Yeah.
It's for charity.
All right.
Well. Robert.
Do we have any other news?
That was all my news.
Okay. So we can get into Jack Frost.
Yes.
All right. This is famously Kat's favorite movie of all time.
Yeah. 10 out of 10. Perfect film.
The only movie to be rated a 10 out of 10 on Slasher Radio, as far as I know, in the history of that show.
I stand by it.
And Ghost had never seen it before, so we decided that it would be a good opportunity for her to watch it because it's that time of year. So, Ghost, we'll start with you, and what were your thoughts on Jack Frost?
We'll start with me. I have thoughts. I can't say I have many, many thoughts, but I do have a few here. Okay. Considering I started the movie and fell asleep, and then tried to watch it at work today because I needed to watch it, and then had to stop it and then start again and watch the last end of it. I enjoyed it.
Yay!
That is the worst way to watch a movie. What is going on with you?
Listen,
sometimes that's
okay.
How you have to watch movies. And if a movie can give you joy anyway,
yeah,
it's kind of a good movie.
Right. Here's the thing. It is no secret to anybody who listens to the show or you two that my memory is awful. So if I don't watch the movie the day of or the day before, I'm going to forget it and forget all the thoughts I had on it when we record. So my plan was originally to watch it yesterday at work. And then you were like, oh, can we push it a day? And I was like, oh, perfect. Now I can go home. And I went straight to bed. And then I woke up today and I was like, oh, I'm perfect. My day's going to be great. I'm going to go watch this movie. I'm going to watch it on my meal break. It's going to be great. I had an awful day at work. I was so slammed. It was so busy. I was running call to call to call. And then when I went on my meal break, they pulled me off of my meal break to go to another call. It was awful. Mm. So that's why I had to split the movie into two. But it was really enjoyable.
I would just like to point out that going to sleep is very unprofessional, Ghost. And
Rob,
you know, Rob, I don't think you...
just saying. I'm just saying.
You can't say anything about that because I have the receipts.
I uh Myself, I watched the movie and immediately just wanted to watch the sequel, which I did not get around to doing because I haven't. I've actually seen this one a couple of times fairly recently, but I haven't watched the sequel in years.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I almost did the double feature today, but then I saw on Twitter someone said that they had just done Jack Frost and Santa Jaws, and I did that instead of watching the second one.
That's fun.
But I'm hoping to watch the second one still before Christmas, because it's also, it's more ridiculous.
Yeah, the second one, Ghost, you're going to have to watch the second one. It's a lot of fun. The snowman goes to Hawaii. It's amazing.
Jeez, I don't know, guys.
A tropical Christmas film. It's so good.
Oh, goodness.
It's something. But yeah, I mean, I'm watching it again. I was amazed at how good Michael Keaton is in it.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you're trying to trick me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not funny.
All right. I just wanted to check and make sure you didn't watch the wrong Jack Frost. That's
okay.
All.
We had this conversation last time we talked about this, that I almost watched this movie. I thought I was watching Jack Frost, but I instead pulled up the Michael Keaton one and was very confused and then didn't watch that. And I swear I told you that. So now I was like, wait a minute. Now you're really trying to trip me up.
Yeah.
I did not watch the Michael Keaton one. Almost.
Yeah. Have you guys seen... There's actually another one coming. Like another Jack Frost movie. That's just called Jack Frost. I think so.
They gotta stop. Come on.
But like, it would be so easy to just name them something else, right? Like...
Yeah. The thing is... First of all, we need a Jack Frost 3. I mean, Jack Frost 2 came out in 2000. That 22 years is a long time. Come on. I mean, clearly this is a franchise with legs.
But, well, not technically legs.
Right.
I guess not. Yeah, more of like a snow body, but...
So yeah, my thoughts on this movie, they still hold true. Perfect film. No notes.
It's a perfect film. I have notes.
I was going to say, it is not a perfect film, and I have notes, but it was really good.
All the notes are that it's are different ways that it's perfect. also, the Jack Frost that I was thinking of, it had a trailer this year, but does not seem to be coming out this year.
Okay.
It says this Christmas... but I like when I clicked on it, there's no kind of release date or information. So I might have made like this might be a fictional film. I don't know.
You just pulled that right out of your ass, huh?
It's also there have changed the production title. It is now called The Curse of Jack Frost, which to be fair is better than just another.
I guarantee someone tried to sue them.
Probably, right?
Was it Michael Keaton or this Jack Frost, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that they changed the title to something, though. Something other than just Jack Frost, because that's unacceptable.
It's also an hour and 20 minutes. They couldn't quite hit the 90 minutes, which is the sign of a great film.
Yeah.
As we know.
Yep, I am fine with that.
this one.
Yeah. Kat, what were your thoughts watching it this time around?
If I could wake up every day in the holiday season and start my day with a Jack Frost, I think I probably would. This is a fantastic thing to do this morning. It's so much fun.
It really
knows exactly what it's doing. And it just, you can tell everyone on the set was having a great time working on it. I had forgotten, because it's been... it's been since last year that I saw it, I guess. Not that long, but I had forgotten about the introduction. Like, even just, it's got the two voices,
First note I made was that I loved the way they gave a background / kind of like an expo dump that way.
It's so good, and it was so entertaining. I honestly would have watched a whole movie just of that.
When I turned it on, I was like, wait a minute, am I watching the right movie? Isn't this supposed to be scary? And I hear the little girl talking, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
That was great, wasn't it?
So good.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel. Like, there were just so many very joyous moments like that. I loved the way that it was like Jack Frost himself, the I don't know if it was a puppet that they were using as his head in some scenes, but like when it would turn straight to the camera and then I love that his mouth didn't always work the same way. Like it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in this movie. My biggest battle with this movie right now is trying to figure out what the best joke is. It is either the rocking chair joke, where they have the dead guy in the rocking chair and the chair is going back and forth, because of course it is. It's a horror movie with a dead person in a rocking chair, so of course the chair is rocking. And they sit there talking, and then finally the guy goes, "Take your foot off the chair." And it just stops. I laughed so hard at that. Or is it when Jack Frost, I think he gets hit with a truck or something, and he goes flying through the air. And as he's flying through the air, he goes, "I can see your house from here."
Yeah. One of my notes, obviously, in this was that the one-liners are just hysterical. Amazing. Every little one-liner he has is so good. And it, you know, is on par with the Die Hard one-liners, I will say. Yeah. We'll put it out there. I think my favorite one was actually, unfortunately, not even Jack Frost that said it. It was the snowman joke.
I wonder if we have the same one. Oh.
What's the difference between a male, a snowman and a snowwoman? Yeah. No balls. And he got fucking pissed. I was like, damn, they were making no balls jokes back in fucking 97. Hi.
Yeah.
I think my favorite one-liner was the when he's confronting the bully's dad. And he's like, you know, your kid's like two feet taller than mine, and just very quietly in the back you hear the woman and she's like, "Not anymore." Just like, I fucking lost it.
I didn't even catch that.
I don't think I had ever caught it before.
I don't think I have either.
So quiet.
That is funny.
They just slip it in there and it's like, oh my god.
Yeah, they really did a great job with that. With all those, I mean, there's so many great jokes in this movie. It's unbelievable. And you know, the funny thing about it is, I don't know if you guys, this is Shannon Elizabeth's first film. So it's her film debut. And then I think after this, she did American Pie.
Okay.
And I believe the producers of American Pie called up the Jack Frost people, were like, "Don't tell anyone Shannon Elizabeth was in your movie."
That's not good when you have to protect the creative integrity of American Pie.
Right, yeah.
Really worried that somehow that was going to get out and ruin their movie. Which, I mean, I think they're wrong, because honestly, Jack Frost, better movie than American Pie.
Oh, absolutely. The soundtrack may not be as good, but everything, right. The jokes are so much funnier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my god, there's so many little things about this movie. Like, oh god, I gotta remember where he fucking, with the axe kill, and he goes, "Gosh, I only axed you for a smoke." Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Or when he killed the like scientist or whatever, he's like, "Don't eat yellow snow."
Yeah.
Bruh.
That was one of my favorite ones, because it wasn't even like a lot of them at least tried to tie in or be like proper puns, and I guess also with the, we already talked about it, but the "I can see your house from here," it's like, it's such a random, he's like 2 feet higher than he was.
It's so funny. I mean, is hilarious. My favorite thing about the scientist thing was when he was walking out trying to pretend like he was the scientist.
Oh my god.
And then goes, "Ah, oh, fuck it."
I was having flashbacks to, oh my gosh, in Men in Black. That's in Men in Black, right? Yeah, where they try to make him walk and be normal.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck's going on? But yeah, and the, like, just between the cops themselves, just the stupid shit that they say to each other. Or the lady, "Your house or mine."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all around, it's a really funny movie. But I think it has some fun kills, too. I mean, they're ridiculous, but they're also fun and kind of brutal. I mean, he shoves the axe down that guy's throat.
Yeah, not even blade first. Like, handle first.
And the Christmas tree, I think that was the one moment was my favorite. For me that mm-hmm. made this a Christmas film, because it's like, that's, it's definitely, it's the kill I remembered the most going in for the rewatch.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I think of when I think of Jack Frost.
Yeah.
And it's got just like fun Christmas vibes.
Yeah. It's not even that he killed her with all of the Christmas decorations. It's that he hung her on the tree also. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got like all the different stages in it too. Cause it would be one thing if he had been like, I'm going to tie her to the Christmas tree with garland, but there's like the lights also and the fucking the popcorn ornaments. And the, yeah.
The ornament shoved in her mouth. Those
broken ornaments also, like when they show her again, just all that glass through her. It's so, it's wrong to say funny, but also
it's really funny.
It was really funny.
Yeah, it's got, I mean, there's a lot that they did right in this movie. I mean, it's, you know, it's, and it knows exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. But they make the best of it, you know. This is how you make a B movie, not that Snakes on a Plane crap you guys tried to get me to watch.
Shut up, I love Snakes on a Plane.
You guys did get me to watch, I guess, but
I know. Both. In my notes, I put immediately right after I talked about like the background dump for the intro, I put mm-hmm. this movie knows what it is and it's hysterical. The overacting, the cheesy scenes, the one-liners, like it all just like worked together really well.
It really did.
Yeah,
because like even those scenes where the camera was placed, there were a lot of those scenes where it was placed in such a way that everyone was just kind of standing around it staring as they were giving out their lines, like in the van in the beginning, around the Christmas tree, around the rocking chair.
Yeah,
like
the fucking rocking chair. Take your foot off the chair. Oh,
and I can't remember, there was a one liner too while they were standing over the body of the woman who got strung up in the fucking tree.
Yeah, I don't remember what that was.
It's hard to remember all the one-liners because they're just constant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
constant,
they're
laughs.
I tried to look it up and I can't find it.
Yeah, they're everywhere. The opening sequence or the opening of the movie with the uncle telling the little girl the story.
Mm-hmm.
They do that. I think it works really well for the movie, where they do the thing where they're just moving around the Christmas tree to all the different ornaments that have the names of the people on them.
Yeah.
I really like that. Apparently, they had intended to create like an actual opening title sequence, but they ran out of money. So they just had the art department just make a bunch of ornaments and do that.
Honestly, it worked out for them.
Yeah,
it really
works great. It works great.
And speaking of the opening, before I forget, one of my favorite things about this movie is that they have the escape scene in the beginning where my favorite thing, like top tier favorite thing, is that his name is already Jack Frost.
Yep. Right.
just
his
brilliant.
Parents knew what was going to happen. Excellent.
Top tier naming. I loved it so much. But then like second favorite thing, I love that they have a full escape scene for Jack Frost where it's like they, you know, he's been established as a killer already. He's terrible. He's dangerous. He kills the guy in the back. There's the crash. You know, you think that he could, and you know what movie you're watching going into this. You know it's not going to happen, but there's still that part of your brain where it's like, this could just be like a slasher movie. Mm-hmm. They have it all set up like one, and then there's a chemical accident that turns him into like sentient snow. And you're right. Like, amazing.
Yeah. Well, I heard somebody else talking about this movie, and they mentioned that, you know, when you get to, like, when this movie starts, when you get to that first kill, like, the guy, the old man in the rocking chair, it's like, you know, you've got this secluded setting in this town that's all the snow and everything sort of cut off from everything, and there's a murderer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a really sort of like you would be in on that movie anyway. And then you just add in the fact that there's a killer snowman. So yeah, and I do love the crash at the beginning of the movie because you can see that the barely touch, and then they're just these cars are just tumbling around these trucks.
It's the fact that they go back and forth to all three drivers. what exactly do they say? I can't remember. They all say "fuck." I can't remember.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
The part that really killed me, it's not just that they show that they barely touch, it's that there were so many ways that they could have conveniently shown that they barely touched, and it's a separate shot where they zoom in on how little they touch. Yeah. Like, the attention to detail in this movie is just top tier.
Yeah, it's
We have to talk about, too, since we're talking about the attention to detail, that the only thing that they find to kill Jack Frost is antifreeze, which in the movie is called antifrost. Not to mention that the fact that they completely gloss over the fact that this child almost killed his fucking father.
That's one of my favorite things. And like, the kid doesn't even understand the implications of what he almost did, but he's apologizing. He's the only one correct in that scene, and the dad's just so excited that he found something, and he's just like, don't even worry about it. And it's like, no, we would be having a family meeting. The kid tried to feed me antifrost. Like, what
I would be having a meeting with my wife, being like, hey, hello, were you not watching him while he was cooking on the stove and freaking using antifreeze? Like, why did he have it in the kitchen to begin with?
We'd have locks on the kitchen.
Like, just everything.
Never again.
Lock them in a room.
But yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because like, they were just, he was so forgiving of that kid. It's like, no. You could have been poisoned.
Yeah, the moment that happened, the light went off in my head, because I was like, oh damn, what did he put in there? Like hot sauce? Like peppers? Like, what the fuck is, he goes, antifreeze. Like, first of all, why does this child know what that is? Like, and knows the concept of what it does to begin with, and then has access to it. And he must have known, because he did say, oh, I'm sorry, I wanted to keep you warm.
I also love, because there's like, they do so many, there's like a lot of foreshadowing, I think, with salt, where it's like they almost want you to think that that's going to be the solution, but then the way that it ties back in earlier is that the kid almost poisoned his dad instead. Yeah. And it's like, oh my god.
It's like they really like tied together every little loose end a little bit. And I forgot it was even in the car, and I was like, what the fuck did you just throw at him? And then for a split second, I was like, was that like fertilizer or something? Because it looked green.
Yeah.
It was like the chemical reaction was happening, and I didn't click that it was antifreeze. Yeah. But I was like, well, did he just have like a bag of like fucking manure or fertilizer like in his squad car? Like, what is going on?
I also really love that they have like all the bottles of it at the end where they've like used a tarp of all things. Right.
Instead of just having the bottles, they're like, let's make a pool.
Bottles. They get them like back into the bottles. One of my favorite shots of the movie is where it cuts back to underground where you can see how many bottles there are. Mm-hmm. And there's like the ominous fog and stuff. And it's like, but it's they've already shown that they've buried it. And it's like, what is this shot? Like, where is all this stuff coming from? What?
They said, so we know what we're doing. We don't know if we're going to have a second one, but we're going to leave it open. Because we know what we made. We know what we made.
Yeah, the movie doesn't take antifreeze very seriously, though. I mean,
it's not the right color, even.
No, the it's sheriff green. Is like just in a pool of it splashing around for I don't know how long.
That can't be safe, right?
Then the kid, the arm wraps around the kid's head.
Yeah, he dunks his kid like head first into it stuff.
I would be so scared. Like, I'd be more scared of that situation than a killer snowman. If some guy shows up with a tarp and a truck full of antifreeze and just like baptizing kids in it, and I'd be like, no. Hard pass.
It's a very weird solution. You're right. Just because you would think you would just bring all the bottles with you,
right?
Not fill up a fucking kiddie pool of it.
That's what I was
truck.
Expecting. He burst through his little display that he had to begin with and took one bottle originally. And I was like, what the fuck is that going to do? And then it cuts to him filling the bed of his truck. And all I could think in my mind was, so I know it's not going to freeze. It's because antifreeze, but it's gonna just spill out everywhere. Every little bump you hit, it's gone. I've seen people put water in the bed of their trucks to make little like redneck pools. Uh-huh. That shit's gone after one bump. Ain't no fucking way. And then where'd the priest come from at the end? Out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, he's around because they at the end, or when they're doing the thing, when they're trying to force Jack Frost into the boiler or whatever, You see him with one of the hair dryers because he makes the sign of the cross with his hair dryer.
Oh God, I missed right that.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. There's a shot. I guess it's from Jack Frost POV. So you see all the people with the hair dryers right around him, and the it focuses on the priest, and he does the sign of the cross. It's very funny.
Fuck, I missed that.
And that's the thing. Like, you would have to watch and it's amazing I haven't. You'd have to watch this movie so many times to catch all the little stuff like that. Because I'll still, like, you'll still be laughing about one thing, and you could miss, like, five other things in the time it takes you to recover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with this one. I didn't have high hopes going into it, only because I don't ever have high hopes for ghost watches.
I don't know why. I always
pick you do, for the most part, pick pretty good movies, right? You have a pretty good track record. But I know there's going to come a day where I'm going to be so excited to see a movie you picked and watch a movie that you picked, and it's going to be so awful, and then I'm going to have to blame it all on you. So if I keep my expectations tempered a little bit, I feel like we're good.
All right. Yeah. We haven't talked about the famous Shannon Elizabeth scene.
No.
It tends to be the lightning rod of controversy for this movie. What is it
the bathtub scene?
Winter came early scene.
Yeah, I was real confused by that. I'm not gonna lie.
All right. So I don't have a lot of background on this movie, just a couple of interesting things. And one of them is about that scene. Do you want me to blow it now, or do you want me to wait until the end?
Go ahead.
No, I want to know.
So the movie implies that there is sex in the rape, basically, in the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't start out that way. The reason that the carrot isn't on Jack Frost's face is because when they first tried to film that scene, he's jerking her around and her head is coming towards the snowman's head,
mm-hmm.
and she almost the carrot almost went into her eye. At one point. And so they said, well, we can't do that. We've got to take the carrot off. And so they took the carrot off, and the idea was, well, you know, he just hasn't fully reformed yet or whatever. You know, he just won't have the carrot. It's not
and
a big
fucking
deal.
And people took that and ran.
And so then they filmed it that way, and everything was fine until they got into editing. And the editor goes, you know, it looks like something else is happening here.
Yeah.
And so they went back and reshot and inserted the one-liners about Christmas coming or whatever, winter coming early and stuff, and just sort of ran with it. But it wasn't intended to be that way. And the director has said that he regrets that decision.
Yeah. So go ahead, Kat.
I almost wish that I could agree, because this is one of those things that it's like, I could see a director around this time, especially having done intentionally and thinking it was hilarious, and me watching back now and being like, well, I can't recommend this to friends and family. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me. I hate, because I know that it should, but it was so funny.
It doesn't bother me either. And the reason isn't because I'm some pig man, although I am a total pig. It's because, to me, it's so fucking absurd. You know what I mean? Like,
it reminds me of the tree from Evil Dead. Like, it's wild.
It is, or the turkey in Thanksgiving. You know, it's just, it's so fucking absurd that I just can't get myself...
The gravy-flavored condom.
I can't find it in myself to be pissed or upset by it. You know what I mean? It's just so fucking absurd.
Watching it for the first time, I was like... Like, when she's in the bathtub or whatever, I'm like, oh my god, is this, like, paying homage to, like, Freddy with the fucking glove in the tub? Like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm stupid thinking that. But yeah, all right, I get it, right? Yeah, no, that's not, I don't think so, at least. And I was watching it, and I was like, oh, cool, he's just gonna, like, freeze her ass, and that's gonna be the end of it. And then that happened. And at first, I was like, this is really weird. But it's also, like, I don't think what it's people are take it as, because clearly she's like stuck inside of him because of the way he reformed, and that's why when she's like struggling she can't get out, and that's why it looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not as mad at it as I would be otherwise if it was maybe filmed a different way.
Yeah, that wasn't so. Anyway, again, it wasn't the original way that it was written, mm-hmm. or intended initially, but then the I believe he said it was the editor who was like, hey, this looks like something else is happening
made it
here.
All the way to post before someone was like, ah, maybe. That's how you know it was a team of men.
Yeah, well, and the director has decided or has stated before that he wishes he could quote unquote pull a George Lucas and go back and digitally insert the carrot into Jack Frost's face.
Yeah.
So that maybe he thinks maybe that would
the carrot.
Change the
that's
perception.
Not what bothers me.
It's the one.
I didn't even notice the carrot was gone.
Yeah, it's the one-liners afterward that really sell the scene. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what really drive that home. But anyway, that's how that all came about.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's some interesting...
like while you're watching it, you're like, I was kind of like Ghost, where it was like I thought she was just going to be frozen in mm-hmm. the tub, and it was going to be like a really kind of cool death. And then you know he starts murdering her, and at first you're like, I don't know if this is as cool as the like Frost death, but then it's like, well, it's gonna be bloodier, you know, and it gives them some more time to like be hands on. And and by the time that notion was out of my head, we were already pretty much, we were well into the scene at that point before it even occurred to me, where it's like, oh
yeah,
this looks bad. And I can understand like why the editors too, like how it made it so far, because when you have the idea that he's just like bludgeoning her to death against the wall, uh-huh. it really does takes a minute for you to get that impression. So I can understand seeing that in post and being like, well,
yeah. So anyway, I found that there's some interesting stuff about this movie we'll talk about later too, and how it came to be. But I thought that was a sort of an interesting story, because I do hear people shit on this movie for that one scene, which again, I mean, I understand, but at the same time, it's so fucking dumb. And
at the same time, I feel like there are much bigger movies that have done something like that much worse.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like it's the comedy in this movie is not, oh, hey, this happened and we're laughing at this particular thing that happened and the whole movie's around it. It's just like this one moment.
Yeah.
I guess. And it's not meant to be that at all.
Yeah.
Like I said, at first I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh, okay, I can see where they were trying to go. She's stuck literally inside of him, and it's just her trying to get the fuck out and can't be trapped, and him fucking bludgeoning her that makes it look so fucked up.
Right.
So
anything else you guys want to touch on Jack Frost?
I know I usually don't bring up like the scores on this show.
Oh, I loved it.
But I just really, I was appalled because earlier today, I actually, speaking of Michael Keaton, Jack Frost, I went through a thing earlier today where I was going to pull up, like just out of curiosity, I wanted to see what it was rated on like Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb and everything. And I had accidentally pulled up the Michael Keaton Jack Frost, and I was looking at the score, and it's like, this is so low. And then I realized, I looked at the cover, and it's like, oh, selling me wrong Jack Frost. And I backed up, and the actual Jack Frost, like, this Jack Frost is lower. Like,
oh,
no, come on. Like,
yeah.
That hurt a little bit.
Yeah, I can, I mean...
I understand, but like it's just, and then I went through the same thing. It's very funny because I did that with IMDb, and then I did the same thing with Rotten Tomatoes. Because with Rotten Tomatoes, I was like 1997, and it still came up with the Michael Keaton one first. So I fell for it like twice back to back.
Yeah.
The Michael Keaton Jack Frost is apparently not loved either, but
no,
it is.
It's not.
But yeah, it's got a 4.6 out of 10 on IMDb, and it's got a 6% on the tomatoes.
Wow.
6%?
6%.
That's it?
Which is half,
people don't understand,
of Michael Keaton's 12%
Oh, Jesus. That's bad.
Yeah,
audience score is 30.
Now,
but...
I wonder how many people went to either movie vice versa and rated the wrong one.
Right.
On Rotten Tomatoes, it would be really easy because even if you know the year, it's like, fuck you, talk about Michael Keaton.
Yeah, like I wonder how often that happened.
Yeah. Well, I love Michael Keaton, but I have not watched that movie because it looks terrible.
It looks so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair.
It's got to be worse than this, right?
There's no way. It can't be better. yeah, it's the old thing of going to Blockbuster and putting this movie in the Michael Keaton case. Oh, God. You know, you switch the VHS tapes.
Yeah.
All right, so the background that I really wanted to talk about for this movie is I find it absolutely fascinating. So the writer came up with the idea and wrote a screenplay, and this movie was initially set for something like a $30 million budget.
Wow.
And it was going to be directed by Rennie Harlan. And Rennie Harlan was at the time dating Gina Davis. And they had gone on a vacation or something together or whatever. And she read the script and she was like, this is fucking terrible. You cannot make this movie.
Oh, my gosh.
So he backed out. And once he backed out, the money went away. And they ended up finding somebody to give them $500,000 to make it. So they went from $30 million to $500,000.
That's crazy.
And they ended up having to do extensive rewrites because there was, I mean, this thing, apparently in the original screenplay, it was very Die Hard-ish. And there was a showdown. The final showdown took place at like some sort of skyscraper in Denver or something.
I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah. So they really had to pare this movie down. And then they thought they had secured enough money for 4 snowmen for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that no, they could only afford 1 snowman, like puppet thing, whatever they used for the movie. So they were like, all right, this is falling apart fast. We need to make it a comedy. So they wrote it again.
Oh my
and
gosh.
That's where they put in all the that's how it became a horror comedy. So it went from a $30 million serious horror, straight horror movie directed by Rennie Harlan to a $500,000 horror comedy.
Jesus.
And you know what? That's a lot of adjustments to make and everything, but they pulled it off, man, because this movie is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, they really did a good job of turning it heavy into the comedy and just not letting up on it. Yeah. And it worked. It worked in their favor a lot.
Yeah, they hit the mark 100%. They knew what they were going to do, and they absolutely did it. And it's a good time from beginning to end. This movie's mm-hmm. great. I'm actually really excited to try and rewatch the sequel because I haven't seen it in so long.
He's going to watch it right after this.
Yeah, I do have a feeling that I'm not going to like the sequel as much as I remember liking it, but I'm looking forward to finding out. And I think that's it. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Anything else anybody wants to mention?
I did pull up some trivia and facts about this. The whole movie was shot in 18 days.
Okay. That tracks.
And that is not a lot of time. And I'm surprised they did that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got $500,000. I guess you don't have a whole lot of time.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm not sure. Did Kat quit the show? Like, what happened?
I'm sorry. I just I had to mute myself for a second. My cat just knocked over the Christmas tree.
The whole Christmas tree?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I swear, speaking of Christmas scares, I thought maybe someone was breaking in because I just heard the most horrendous noise downstairs. It was my cat. oh, boy. That, yeah. It really did. It scared the living daylights out of me, though.
Cat's going to be up for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would have scared the shit out of me, too.
Yeah.
I thought Jack Frost was downstairs.
Oh, God. She's like, is it like Candyman? Did I say his name too many times? And he just showed up. He appeared.
And we did talk about this on Slasher Radio. Mikey and I did an episode. Kat gave it a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And I did say, and this offer still stands, if I win Powerball, I will give them the money to make Jack Frost 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair.
I support that.
Yes. Yeah.
That is one of my goals.
I would like to be the second director. I still think we need to rotate through several directors, several screen screenplays, you know, for
it. I'll write a screenplay for it. I'll throw my hat in the ring for that. Produced by The Sword of Life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we need to do. We need to move into producing movies.
We do, honestly.
I think you need money to do that, though, unfortunately.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
We start low budget. We work our way up.
Well, I mean, this had $500,000. What can we make for $5?
I feel like there are movies that could be made for $5.
Yeah, $5, some gum, some tape. We can do it. Some elbow grease. We got it. We can
cast my cat.
Yes. That's it. You know what we do? Here we go. We recreate an iconic horror film with nothing but cats.
There we go.
We don't have to pay them.
Yeah, that's true.
We save big bucks, right? Yeah.
I think I'd probably watch that.
We lose money in destructive costs.
That's okay.
All right, guys. I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah, good movie. Good
pick. Highly recommend. Fun. If you haven't seen it for whatever reason, go fix that.
Yeah. What are you doing with your life? Yeah. All right. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at This Horror Life. You can send us an email, thishorrorlife@gmail.com. Kat, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Kat_Valour. You can check out my website, katvalour.com. You can also check out my short story, Help Is On The Way, from the Livestock Anthology over on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Is that Fancy. Livestock like cows and shit?
Yes.
Is it cow horror?
It's not.
Okay. Ghost, what about you?
You can find me over on Twitter at @GhostToJ0. You can also find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/GhostToJ, also with the 0.
All right. And I'm on Twitter at @RadioRob123. And you can listen to the other show that I do with Kat called, what the fuck is it called? Slasher Radio. wherever you are listening to This Horror Life, it's late. I'm tired. Leave me alone. And that is what we call an episode.
Woohoo!